Let's pray. Lord, may you be with us. Open your word to us, open our hearts to you. Speak to us now out of your word and touch us. In your name we pray. Amen. Treating them, we'll put that in quotes, treating them differently, worse than us. I think that's about as common to fallen man as breathing is. We're always dividing between us and them. Like I always talk about in Nakusa, you know, Nakusa was right next to Port Edwards, right next to Wisconsin Rapids. We were all the same. But we in Nakusa were not like those people in Port Edwards, and they in Port Edwards were definitely not like those people in Nakusa. And Rapids wasn't like either one of us, because Rapids was better than us both. Isn't that the way we do it? Always dividing. It almost reminds me when you see some poor hen that the rest of the chickens decide to pick on. And they'll peck at that poor hen and peck at that poor hen and pull the feathers out of that hen's back so the back is bald, and they'll almost peck that hen to death. Isn't that kind of a picture how fallen man sometimes is with fallen man? And of course, when we're talking about groups that have come under attack, which group has suffered the most? The Jews. We here in America have traditionally been very sympathetic to the Jews, praise God. But even here in the United States, according to the FBI, the Jews comprise 2.4% of our population, and yet 60% of hate crimes are aimed at the Jews. I don't know if that statistic surprises you, but it did me. I did not think it would be that high in the United States. But even though they're only 2.4% of the population, 60% of hate crimes in our country are aimed at the Jews. And of course, with what's happening in Israel right now, with their response to the Hamas terrorist organization, the number of attacks have risen sharply in our country and around the world. Thankfully, God has not forgotten his people. The Jews are his chosen people. He has not forgotten them, and he never will. So turn with me, if you will, in our text. We're in Zephaniah 3, 18 through 20. We're finishing off the book today. And this is what the Lord said through Zephaniah. He said, I will gather those of you who mourn for the festival, so that you will no longer suffer reproach. Behold, at that time I will deal with all your oppressors, and I will save the lame and gather the outcast, and I will change their shame into praise and renown in all the earth. At that time I will bring you in, at that time when I gather you together, for I will make you renowned and praised among all the peoples of the earth, when I restore your fortunes before your eyes, says the Lord. So let's look at what God has promised his people in this text. Before we do, though, let's consider the Jews' current situation. Because the Jews are God's people, they have been blessed disproportionately as compared to other peoples on the face of this earth. From the day they were dispersed in from Romans throughout this whole church age, they have often risen like cream to the top. For instance, since the Middle Ages, the Jews have often been in the forefront of industry, art, banking, science, and so on. If you look at all the Nobel Prizes that were awarded from 1901, when they were first awarded, to 2015, 22% of all Nobel Prizes went to Jews, despite their small number, 22%. And so God has blessed the Jews disproportionately more than the other peoples on the face of the earth. And because they are the Jews, and because they have rejected their Messiah, they are also persecuted more than any other people on the face of the earth. As you know, as we look at our text, as you know, verse 8, they have been dispersed among the nations, and so they mourn for the festival, they mourn for the rituals that made them who they were as Jews, the God-given rituals that that made them who they were as a people, which they cannot now do because of being separated from the land and because of all the other issues at hand. And so they have mourned throughout their history for the last 1,000 years for the rituals that made them who they are. They've been separated from their roots. Also in the same verse, they have suffered reproach. We see this in our day, everywhere you turn on the TV, the protests that are going on all around the world, and they are being reproached. Even in my day, when I was growing up, and I didn't know a single Jew, but even in my day when things were pretty calm, and I don't think the Jews were persecuted that much in America back in the 60s and so on, but when someone would argue about a penny on a dollar, and they would haggle about that penny, what did we say? We said they were Jewing with us. As if all Jews were miserly and cheap and argued about a penny on a dollar. That's apparently the way we thought of Jews. So even in my day growing up, you know, we reproached the Jew for being miserly and so on. And then verse 19, they have often been oppressed, cast out of many nations, often not allowed to have the same rights as others. Think of it in the last century, Tsarist Russia, forced to live in a settlement and in a poverty type situation. And Nazi Germany, where of course they were put into concentration camps and then of course killed. And they've been shamed. For 2,000 years at least, they have been shamed. Again, think of Nazi Germany, a recent example, and how the Jews were forced into the gas chambers. But first, the gold and silver were taken from their teeth and they were paraded naked into those chambers. It's one thing to suffer and die, and then to be shamed in the process. That's been the Jews a lot. And I could go on and on and on. You could probably think of as many accounts as I could. Some of this we can attribute to human factors, not reasonable, but understandable factors. The Germans, Hitler, persecuted the Jews in part because they were jealous of the Jews' great wealth. Human factors. But it goes beyond that, doesn't it? They have been persecuted so incessantly throughout their history that it's obvious that there's an evil involved as well. Satan hates the Jews, God's people. He hates them and would just as soon see them destroyed. And in the days to come, in the last days, this is what he will especially try to do, even as he does now. In the last days, when he knows his time is short, Revelation 12:12, he will be especially busy on trying to exterminate the Jews. And because God will allow him to do so, he will, to a certain degree, succeed, just as he did in the days of Nazi Germany. So if you were a Jew today, and especially if you were a Jew in the days to come, in the latter days, in the final days, wouldn't you yearn for your Messiah, for him to return? Or in their case, they think he hasn't come already, for him to come? Wouldn't you yearn for the coming of your Messiah? I sure would, if I were a Jew. Now let's look at what God has promised to Jew in our text. He has promised to gather them together to him in the last days. And this means, in verse 18, that after he gathers them, they will be reunited with their roots. He's going to gather those who mourn for the festival, those who have been cut off from their roots. When he gathers them, they will then be able to celebrate this festival and many of their rituals once again. This is the Festival of the Booths. It's also called the Festival of the Tabernacles or the Feast of the Ingathering. It's celebrated 5 days after the Day of Atonement, the most holy day of the year, late in the fall. It celebrates the gathering in of the harvest. So it's kind of like our Thanksgiving, but you know, they didn't have football games and TV back then, so you can't have everything. But it's kind of celebrating God's goodness. Look at what he did, how he provided for us. And not just with the harvest, but in general, how he provides for us day by day and then how he will provide for us in the future. It also looks forward to the ingathering that Jesus will do when he returns, when the Messiah comes, and how he'll gather his people back. Just as the crop has been gathered, so when Christ returns, he'll gather the Jews and harvest them and bring them back home. This was a joyous celebration, probably one of the highlights of their year, and it will continue into the millennium. And as we noted last week, I think, or the week before, not only will the Jews celebrate it, but the whole world will. Zechariah 14:16, then everyone who survives during the great battles at the end of the book of Revelation as Christ returns, everyone who survives of all the nations that have come up against Jerusalem shall go up year after year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and keep the Feast of the Booths. So the Lord will reunite the Jews to their rituals, to their roots. And then when he returns, those who mourn will no longer mourn. Those who suffer reproach will no longer suffer reproach. The next verse, verse 19, those who are oppressed will no longer be oppressed. The lame will be saved. The outcasts will no longer be outcasts. And those who are shamed now will sing songs of praise. And then the Jews will be renowned and praised throughout all the earth by all the peoples of the earth. No longer the pariah. They will be praised and looked up to by the rest of the earth. And he will restore their fortunes. If people think the Jews are as a whole wealthy now, they haven't seen anything yet. During the millennium, they will be very fortunate indeed. And all this, the Lord said, he will do before your eyes, before their eyes, meaning that this will be so evident what he is doing that everyone will understand. Everyone will understand that the Jews are God's people, and they are special to him, and he has blessed them in a special way. In fact, the Jews will be so looked up to that, again, the whole world will look towards them, and especially will they look towards them for spiritual guidance. Christ will be ruling from Jerusalem, the nation of Israel will be his servants, and they will teach the whole world about the ways of God. To such an extent, Zechariah 8:23, that in those days 10 men from the nations of every tongue shall take a hold of the robe of one Jew, saying, let us go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. Teach us, train us, be with us, teach us the ways of God. So at long last, the Jews will finally be the people they were meant to be and do the things they were meant to do, to bring the light of God to all the nations. I'm so glad the Jews are God's people. And I'm so glad they win big time in the end. So glad. God is faithful. Amen. Now, while this scripture applies to the Jews directly, it also indirectly applies to you and me. It always does. There's always something in it for us. Just as the Jews as a nation, by birthright, are children of God, we as individuals, by our faith, are children of God. And just as the Jews as a people have been disproportionately persecuted, so too the true Christian has been disproportionately persecuted by those who love their sin. You read about what's going on in the rest of the world with the church. In so many places today, it is difficult to be a Christian. If you are a Christian, you are under severe persecution. And if you share your faith, you are often under penalty of death. But one day, just as Christ will gather the Jews, one day he will gather us to be with him up in the air, to meet with him, and then we'll be with him forever. And of course, when this happens, those of us who mourn will no longer mourn. Those of us who suffer reproach will no longer suffer reproach. Verse 19, those of us who are oppressed will no longer be oppressed. Those of us who are shamed will sing songs of praise. But before then, things will get better before they get worse. I said that wrong. Things will get worse before they get better. As the last days end, Satan knows his time is short, and he tries to exterminate the Jews, and then it says that he turns from the Jews to the church. And we will be delivered up to tribulation and put up to death, and we will be hated by all the nations, for his name's sake. And as I said, Satan, because he knows his time is short, will war against those who call upon the name of Jesus Christ. But then, Christ returns. Matthew 24, 30-31, then will appear in heaven the sign of the Son of Man, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send out his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other, from one end of earth to the other. All those who have died, all those who are still alive, he will gather us to meet him in the air. He will return and gather us to himself. And then, as I said, we won't mourn, we won't suffer reproach. Those who are lame will be saved, the oppressed will be free, the outcast will no longer be outcast. Those who have been shamed will praise the Lord. And he will make our name, the name of Christ, the name Christian, he will make that renowned and praised among all the peoples of the earth. And in our case, in heaven as well. For we will sit at the right hand of Christ and rule and reign with him, even over the angels. And so we will be exalted on high, even above the cherubim and the seraphim and all the angels. And this Christ will do before our eyes, before the eyes of the whole world, before all of heaven. It will be evident to see that those of us who have trusted in Christ are dearly loved by our Father and held in special place, position of honor because of his Son. I am so glad that God's people, that we win big in the end. God is faithful. Do you sometimes just yearn for the return of Christ? I do. And don't get me wrong, there's so many things in the here and now that I cherish. There's so much good. Even in this fallen world, there's so much that's good. How I yearn for the day when Christ returns and redeems us from our body of sin. How I yearn for the day when Christ vanquishes death. I'm tired of death. And of course, the older I get, the more people that I know and love are dying. I yearn for the day when there's no more death. I'm tired of it. I yearn for the day when Christ comes and wipes away the tears from our eyes. I'm tired of grieving. Tired of sorrow. I yearn for the day when Christ says, "Enter your rest, you good and faithful servant." I'm tired of struggling against sin. I yearn for the day when I won't need to do that anymore. And I yearn for the day when Christ returns and it says he will light up the city of Jerusalem so that it will not need the light of sun or moon. It will light it up with his glorious radiance. And at the same time, he'll light up my soul with the beauty that he is, the wonder of who he is. I yearn for that day. I yearn for that day. And I yearn for the day when I can love the people I love, when I can love them purely, and love Christ with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. I yearn for that day. I yearn for Christ to be exalted. And yes, even for his people to be exalted, the Jews and the Christian. Has God forgotten us? Never. In the days to come, especially if we are nearing the end days, it'll be easy to believe that. But God never forgets his people, never. And when he returns, it'll be evident to all that he has not forgotten us. Revelation 22:20, he who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. And we all say, amen, come Lord, come Lord Jesus. Lord, we do long for your coming. When you come, you will make things right the way things should be. Throughout our history, mankind has yearned for that Savior who could make us be the type of people we ought to be. The Savior, the King, who could make nations get along without warring against each other. The person who could change us from our self-centeredness to other-centeredness. And though there have been many good kings and many good leaders in our history, no one's been able to do what we have wanted them to do. We still have wars. We are often way more self-centered than we are other person-centered. But one day you will return. And for 1,000 years you will demonstrate here on earth how nations ought to live with nations, how people ought to live with people. And then you will recreate the heavens and the earth, make the new heavens and the earth. And then sin will be forever destroyed. No more death. Satan will be bound forever. And we will live with you forever. Lord, the things that you have prepared for your children, the Jews and the Christians, the Jews as a nation, we as individuals, the things you have prepared for your people are just amazing. And it's all grace. Praise you for your goodness. In your name we pray. Amen.